Blog Talk Radio.
Oh no, it's November 6th. Not exactly my birthday, according to Facebook, but that's okay. It'll be tomorrow. Welcome to Pop Culture Stars. This is Dr. John Stamey, live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the place that we love the most tonight. I'll tell you that. It's a great time. And we've got a couple of great hosts with us. We have Dave and Todd, and we have our buddy Mark Manny. And I'll tell you more about Mark Manny in just a minute. This is kind of a special deal. On this past Monday, before I do that, let me introduce my co-hosts, because if I don't, they'll probably revolt and hang up. Dave Atwell, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing fantastic. I think if everybody doesn't know who I am by now, it's probably a little too late to save them. So I hope everybody's having a good night. It's famous for all the wrong reasons, you know what I mean? But no, looking forward to tonight's show, and I hope everybody is doing well. And before we start off, I'm probably stealing Todd's thunder, but would like to wish. But going to go ahead and preemptively wish the United States Marine Corps a big happy birthday and a happy Veterans Day to all those who have served. Hits close to the heart. So, leading it off with some good news with that.
All I've got to say is if it weren't for the Marine Corps and if it weren't for our armed forces, we would not be here having Pop Culture Stars. And so thank
That's
you.
True.
Everything that all of you have done, all the sacrifices that you have made, we are proud of you, and don't want you to go away. This is you're the reason we're here. So thank you, Armed Forces, and thank you, Marines. And I've got so many friends up in Jacksonville between Papa Stroh and the whole bunch. You know, we love you guys. So thank you. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Mr. Todd Saxon, how are you?
I am outstanding to supernatural, and given that we're on the cusp of the birthday, I'll say glorious to the core. The 244 years coming up for the United States Marine Corps, so that's the most auspicious occasion. It's a big deal. My son's active duty Marine. I get to work with the Marine Corps, for a living now. It's after doing 20 years and retiring with them, and I happen to be doing some off-site training, and we're sitting up there, and a number of the staff is in there, and at the tail end of lunch, we all just started kind of BSing, and it was just so much of a small world, because generally, we couldn't mention three people without somebody knowing at least two of the others that we were referring to. It was just unreal.
Thank you, kind sir. We're just glad to be able to celebrate that, to be able to celebrate this event. It means that we have had many, many years of freedom, and thanks to the Marines. I don't think there's a soul on here that will disagree, and if they do, we'll cut them off. How's that?
Well,
right, Dave?
Absolutely.
If anybody disagrees with what we think and our political viewpoint tonight, well, we won't let you on the show. But anyway, we've got a great show tonight, and I want to tell every, I want to explain to everybody what we got going on. I was talking with an alumni of Pop Culture Stars, Greg Bo Watson, and he was telling me how insanely popular My Favorite Murder is. And I went and looked, and those girls in 4 years have garnered almost 400,000 likes. Now, that's a lot. Now, I'm telling you, that's more than I've never seen the number 400,000. I mean, if I see 4,000 on a Bigfoot conference, I'm thrilled, but 400,000? Gee. So I said, well, if they can do it, we can do it too. So I concocted the idea of Murder 1-2-3. That is a Monday night podcast. And, of course, my compatriots, Dave Atwell and Todd, you guys are welcome to come on and join us. And we talk about murder, death.
I bet it's a killer show.
They came. That's right. They came, they went, and they murdered. So that's what happened. So anyway, we had our first one, and I've actually had some amazingly good responses from people, you know, that don't, you know, normally like contact me and say you had a good show. We had a lot of people that liked it. And so what I thought we would do tonight, because first of all, we've got Mark Manny on. Mark, how are you doing? It's so good
to
have
you on. Hey, John, how
you
doing? It's a pleasure to be on your show again. I was back on your Bigfoot and Company show back in January. We had a great podcast then. So looking forward to be on here tonight and potential podcasts in the future with you.
Absolutely. Mark is one of our favorite people. He is an assistant producer for quite a while for Bigfoot and Company. And we're always glad to have him. He's from originally near Niagara Falls, now kind of near Vancouver. And where have you, is that correct to say, Mark?
Yeah, I live in British Columbia, Canada. For everybody who lives in the States, they just north of Washington State in Idaho there. It's in the Rocky
All
Mountains
right.
in British Columbia, Canada.
Well, that's great. And so anytime we get a chance to talk with Mark, it's always a good time. So here's the deal. We're going to do the same format. We're going to do a Murder 1-2-3 show here tonight because, first of all, I have two very seasoned and experienced co-hosts, and they will figure this out. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we kind of follow the format of that great show, My Favorite Murder. We pick a murderer, and we read about them online, and we talk about them, and we laugh a little bit. I know it's a scary thing, but we laugh about it. Murder can be a little humorous, because all of life, let's please remember, all of life is humorous. And so that's what we're going to do tonight, and then we're going to turn the forum over to Todd to talk about the Pop Culture Stars weekend fun with the Queen of Sparkle. So that's going to be a great thing. After we do the Murder 1-2-3 run in, we're gonna have him talk about his weekend with the Queen of Sparkle, who we love, Liz Brackett. You're not here, but we think the world of you, and we wish you were here, don't we, Todd?
Oh, absolutely. More than you know, as because I'm sure she'll remember two stories for every one I do. It was outrageous.
Yep. So we want you to fill us in all about that. But we want to get right down to Murder 1-2-3. So I'm talking with Mark, because I hadn't talked with him in a while. It'd been too long. And so I said, Mark, who is one of the most infamous murderers in Canada? He said, Robert Picton. I said, really? And I said, why? And Mark said, he killed a lot of people. Right, Mark?
Yeah, well, he's kind of one of those infamous killers. Like in the States, you have Manson or Bundy or whoever. That's kind of our version of Ted Bundy is Robert Picton that everybody knows about, infamous serial killer.
Yeah, and now it's really interesting. You did not mention the biggest serial killer of all time. And few people really know this or think about him, but that is this bad boy from Olana, South Carolina, called Pee-wee Gaskins. And we are going to be doing a huge, like a double feature on Pee-wee Gaskins. There are a lot of people whose relatives were killed by Pee-wee Gaskins. He was the meanest, and he was coined the meanest man in America, and he was. But I'll tell you what, Robert Picton is not exactly Prince Charming here. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start reading a little bit about Robert Willie Picton. Born in October of 1949. So he's just kind of like had a birthday. So he's a Canadian serial killer who was convicted in 2007 of the second degree murders of six women. He was arrested in 2002. He was the subject of a lengthy investigation that brought out evidence of numerous other murders. Now, I mean, you know, this man was convicted of six, but he killed a lot more. He was charged with the deaths of an additional 20 women, many of them from Vancouver's Down East Side. Now, Mark, I would guess that the Down East Side is not exactly the best in the world, is it?
Well, I'll just put it this way, John, that Vancouver's Downtown East Side has the highest murder rate in North America, even more so than most Canadian or most American cities. And it has a higher HIV rate than even most African countries just in that localized area because of the drug use that's associated with that area. It's not a good place to be. It's kind of like a zombie apocalypse movie, if you can imagine one.
Dave, don't go there, okay?
I don't want to discourage you guys from visiting Canada. It's a beautiful place. Vancouver's beautiful, but that area, I would stay away from there.
Dave, we got to tell your wife, Dale, she cannot let you go to the east side of Vancouver, okay?
Yeah, I'd be out there sending postcards back. Wish you were here.
Oh, that's horrible. That's terrible. Okay. So anyway, getting back to our subject at hand, who actually had his birthday last week. Okay, Picton was sentenced to life in prison with no possibility of parole for 25 years, the longest sentence for murder under Canadian law at the time. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to let this guy get out after 25 years, and the next statement is going to shock you. That's not cool. Don't let this guy out. He'll come and get me. And I don't know if you realize this, but when they had an undercover cop in his cell who was posing as a cellmate, it was reported that Picton told this officer that he wanted to kill one more woman than even 50. And he was only caught because he was sloppy. Now, how horrible is that? Oh, my God. Now, Mark, you found out something very dastardly about Robert Picton. Tell us.
Well, John, another name that he's been given is called the Pig Farmer Killer. And a fun fact about him being a pig farmer is that
this is a fun fact. Todd,
a fun fact
about this is a fun fact. Dave, oh my God.
Okay, you got to hear that.
I heard it. I'm just being good.
Okay, so listen to this. He was suspected
not quirky,
of
not weird, not scary, not creepy. It's a fun fact.
Yeah. So,
this is great.
Him being a pig farmer
heard,
killer.
Mark, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to stop you, and I'm going to have to say I've never heard fun facts about murders. We have broken a record here. We have established a new low.
Well, as you were saying, you know, murder can be fun. It can be interesting. You got to have a sense of humor sometimes.
No. I heard somebody start the show with that. I won't mention any names, but his initials are John Stamey.
All right, Mark, we are now turning the television back over to you.
All right, so he was also known as the Pig Farmer Killer, and an interesting tidbit of information about that is that he was suspected of grounding up his victims and feeding them back to the public. So they actually did a big public health warning to the area saying, hey, if you got some pig meat from this guy, you might want to not eat it because you could be eating his victims, essentially. That's what they said.
How charming.
I imagine the Green Party. I do. I imagine the Green Party was all over that and thinking he was great for recycling.
I think I actually heard that. Like some guy in Sweden, some professor was saying that, you know, that could be a way that we could reduce waste is by eating people instead of pigs and cows that produce so much waste, right?
Makes sense.
Something. Something like that. Okay. How pleasant, Mark. That's just great. Yeah. So welcome to Robert Picton. And so here's what else we know about Robert Picton. Robert and his brother, they owned a farm in Coquilliam, British Columbia, which was 17 miles east of Vancouver. And worker Bill Hiscox called the farm a creepy-looking place, and he described Picton as a pretty quiet guy whose sometimes bizarre behavior, despite the evidence of substance abuse, would draw attention. So obviously he liked a little cocaine, I think. The Picton brothers began to neglect the site's farming operation. That's terrible. If you got a farm and you start neglecting it, you know, you're going to have a mess. They registered. Now this is great. This is like a Dr. John Stamey move. Dave, I know you're going to love this one. They registered a nonprofit charity, the Piggy Palace Good Times Society, in 1996, claiming to organize and coordinate and manage and operate special events, functions, dances, shows, and exhibitions on behalf of service organizations, sports organizations, and other worthy groups. Lord have mercy, that sounds like me.
That is the
deadest air I ever got. Okay. You're not listening, damn it. Okay. Its events included raves and wild parties featuring Vancouver sex workers and gatherings in a converted slaughterhouse on the farm. So basically they were having sex out there in the slaughterhouse. Gee.
A little pork pork.
These events attracted as many as 2,000 people. Members of the Hell's Angels were known to frequent the farm. Now, you know what? Sounds like that was a mess out there just waiting to be exposed, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mark, would your dad have let you go on to one of those things?
I don't know. It sounded like they were having some fun parties out there, but not my cup of tea. I'm a bit of a vegetarian myself. I'm not into the...
Yeah, I'm all up with pasta and broccoli, I'm telling you. Todd, do you like pasta and broccoli? I hope you do.
Hey, pasta and broccoli will work.
Okay.
Yeah, broccoli and rice, I think. But just for the record, this ain't going to slow me down from eating pork. And
no, I love sausage.
Bacon,
don't you?
Is the gateway drug for vegetarians.
Okay. All right. So we got you on that one. Now, the Picton brothers, you know, began to neglect their farm's operations, and then on March 23rd, 1997. Picton was charged with the attempted murder of sex worker Wendy Lynn Elsettler, whom he stabbed several times during an altercation at the farm. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't call that attempted murder. I would call that murder, whether she was still alive or not. The gal's got a bunch of stab marks in her.
Yeah.
Do what?
He didn't close the deal. Struck out an ace.
He wasn't good at his profession. Yeah. If he didn't finish that one.
Well,
that's
as
it.
He said, he was sloppy. So okay. Elsettler had informed the police that Picton had handcuffed her, but that she had escaped after suffering several lacerations. She told the police she had disarmed him and stabbed him with his own weapons.
Uh-oh.
Now, Picton sought treatment at Eagle Ridge Hospital, while he recovered at the nearby emergency room, he was released on $2,000 bond. All right, so here's a guy. He has tried to stab this girl multiple times, tried to kill her, and gets out on Canadian $2,000 in bond. Now, come on. You know, I mean,
Hold on. There's another little piece there from the hospital. Do you know that they took the handcuff key from his pocket to take the handcuffs off the girl?
No, I didn't know that.
I just read that.
Well,
so
that's
that like
good.
She was like compliant in that then? Like, I don't understand why that would make it better in the jurors.
I mean, this is saying that some dude did it, and yet, I mean, they actually, that's just insane. How was somebody going to release? You take that handcuff key, the guy she described, oh, by the way, I stabbed him. Oh, look, here's a dude with a stab wound. I got the handcuff from where I escaped. And, oh, he's got the key in his pocket. Boy, that's a coincidence. Seriously?
And Lord. There's 12 people out there that said that OJ didn't do it, too. Yeah. P.T. Barnum was right, you know what I mean? And, wow. You talk about red-handed, as they say.
Hey, this is shit you can't make up. Keep going, Dr. John, because there's – I'm waiting for you to get to this one detail.
It just gets worse. It just gets worse. Okay, so they released –
Wait till y'all hear about his makeshift silencer.
Okay.
Ah, tell
the
me
charge. The charge was dismissed January of the next year. A couple months later, Pictons were sued by Port Coquitlam officials for violating zoning ordinances, neglecting agriculture for which it had been zoned, and having altered a large farm building on the land for the purpose of holding dances, concerts, and recreations. All right, now, I know all about that. I know all about stuff like that. I was supposed to be in cahoots with some people that had this huge building in North Myrtle Beach, and they said, we can run a Comic-Con there. And so then I go there, say, about 3 weeks before, I said, okay, well, I need to go get the business license. And they looked at me when shocked. They said, business license? I said, yeah, if you're going to run an event, you probably need a business license. They're like, oh, I don't know about this. I said, well, you certainly do because you have a business license and all that. And so I found out they did not have that building was not zoned to run a Comic-Con. It was the first time that I ever had a Comic-Con that failed. It was just horrible. And, but you know, this sounds about like the same damn thing. But anyway, now who wanted to interject something humorous?
Well, I'm going to go back to his damn, to his makeshift silencer.
That's another fun fact right there. I just read that myself. That's pretty funny.
Oh, fun facts from Canada. All right. John, tell us.
No, let him talk. This is a good one. This is a good one, John. Let him explain the silencer.
Yeah, Todd, talk. Let's hear this.
Yeah, well, so they're giving this long list of, you know, body portions and bloody clothing and this that they found. So they found a .22 caliber revolver with an attached dildo containing both the victim's DNA and his. And he claimed
I don't want to contemplate that. Okay, keep going.
He claimed to attach the dildo to his weapon as a makeshift silencer.
Usually
the part I really like is that it had his DNA.
Oh, a barrel lamp on that dildo.
Yeah. That thing done made a trip to the chocolate factory. Yeah. Oh,
man,
wow.
Most of the time, that dildo's used because they don't want a loaded weapon. Just saying.
Yeah. Hey.
This is stuff you can't make up.
You know what's bad is I'm actually sitting here thinking, man, I wonder if that thing would actually work. What else can you put at the end of a pistol?
I'm letting that simple joke go away. Nope, just we'll let it pass.
Now, you know what, Mark, you asked me, you said, well, now, how will the show go? You said, how will the show go? And I said, you watch. I said, I got some smart co-hosts.
Hello?
Oh, my God, this is terrible.
I'm back on? Sorry, I got disconnected there for a second.
Okay, you're back. But anyway, you asked me, well, how will the show go? Now you know how it's going to go. This is absolutely nuts. So we have a silencer. All right. Are there any other, how can we put them? Are there any other revelations?
John, it's almost a scene. I got to throw this out there. It's almost a scene for me, myself, and Irene. No, that was for you to use on yourself. Anybody remembers the movie? Jim Carrey's holding out that monster dildo.
Lord have mercy.
Oh, man.
It just knocks your socks off how, and you know, you guys have heard me carry on about this before. I'm the guy that can get a $2,500 ticket because I parked my trash can on the, you know, 4 feet near a storm drain instead of the required 6. You know, I mean, just some ridiculous-ass law I could get busted on. But this guy walks in, has the handcuff keys fall out of his overalls, has got a dildo stuffed in a gun barrel, and he's like,
hi.
That doesn't mean anything. You know what I mean?
Hi, how are
like,
you?
Yeah, and the law is standing there going, well, he does have a point. You know, it's like, Jesus Christ, how is it that people can find out that I didn't turn in a library book back in 84, but yet this guy can walk away? Jesus Christ, man.
It is. You know, there's a bit of a Keystone Cop skit going on. There's...
Yeah.
I mean, you're
almost waiting
really?
For Mel Brooks to show up. Yeah.
The what is it? The Super Troopers or whatever.
Yeah.
God Almighty. You cannot make this up. I mean,
well, I'm gonna. What?
Go ahead, John.
No, I was saying I'm getting ready to unload some more stuff on you. Okay. Over the course
after
of three
the dildo
years,
and the revolver, he said, unload.
Mark.
Yeah, you had
Mark,
the vibrator.
Mark, are you there?
I'm still here. I was just reading more, and, you know, the more I read about it, the more crazy stuff I uncover. Like, apparently he had a good friend called Scott Chubb. Chubb was his last name. Anyway, he told him a good way to kill a female heroin addict was to inject her with windshield washer fluid. Now, I've never heard that one before, but, you know, that's something to keep note of, I guess. Like, that's pretty crazy.
The other one we'll have to try.
Mark, look what you've done to this show.
I'm a bad influence on you guys, I guess.
You have completely destroyed this show. It's great. I mean, what more can I say? I mean, you know, I told you if you came on here, it would be fun. Well, now you know. Bang.
Well, I'm having a blast.
So anyway,
this is great.
All right, good. Good. So
now
I've got to read.
Now, check this out. So our instructor for this off-site training that I'm doing this week, he was talking about he was doing a night course of instructing. In the course, they had gotten off on a tangent one night. Somebody had mentioned about, like, the perfect ways to do murder, and he left down, you know, a series of anecdotes and how they carried it out throughout the week, and that it was always at the end of class just when people were running out of steam. And I was just like, what the hell, that this was just talked about in class today, and here we are tonight. And for those that don't know it, yep, this stuff is unscripted. In fact, tonight we had the most warning on the general subject than we've had maybe ever. Because I think we had a full 42 minutes, but we did not know who our subject was. So here is this weirdness in the class. So wait till I go back and I tell our instructor about that stuff. Boy, let old Jim learn that one tomorrow. So, hey, you know, you mentioned that little story about killing things. Did anybody bring up windshield fluid for heroin addicts? How's that one? The funny part, though, is, you know, because where I was in North Carolina, I will admit, I don't know if it could have got better for disposing of a body, because we had the hog farms there. And let me tell you, we had, with the amount of crabs and all the waterways, those things could clean a body up, could clean a corpse, and man, in a day they would have one cleaned off.
Yeah. Between that, the catfish, the gators, the crab, all that, man, brackish water is the place to dump one if you got the, you know, if you're running out of time.
And look, in the pig farms, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, they'll clean it up. They'll eat everything.
So I am disposed, but man, yeah, we're breaking some new ground tonight.
But you know what's bad is
we are
sitting here right now, and I'm thinking about Charles Bronson and Death Wish with a damn dildo sticking out the end of his damn gun.
No.
He had the pantyhose or the socks with the rolls of quarters, nickels, whatever it was. Could you imagine a bunch of dildos in the end of it?
There's Clint Eastwood playing Harry Callahan, and he's got the damn gun pointed at the guy. He goes, I know what you're thinking. Is this 4 inches or only five?
Brady Hicks, I hope you're not listening tonight.
Actually, I thought you were going to go with, do you feel lucky, punk?
I do now.
probably my favorite statement in a movie ever is, yep, I'm calling you. I'm out now. I want you to bring over a blowtorch and a pair of pliers. What movie does that come from?
The Muppets Take Manhattan. I have no idea.
That comes from Pulp Fiction.
Ah, that's right.
There we go.
Bring me a blowtorch and a pair of pliers, and just
medieval.
That is I'm about to get medieval on this boy. Oh my God!
Is that the pawn shop scene?
No, that's at the very end. That's this little wimpy kid had been raping the dude for a month because he had captured him. And so then Travolta comes in and fixes everything.
Well, it wasn't Travolta. It was Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis.
Yeah,
all right.
Bruce Willis was the escape clause.
Yeah. You know, they don't have quarter pounders in
there
France.
Are some quotes in that movie.
They call them royales with cheese.
Say what again?
You gonna reach in that wallet, you gonna reach in that bag and pull my wallet out.
Lord have mercy upon
cool.
my soul.
No, I think my favorite scene is Christopher Walken when he explains the whole watch from the war.
With the watch.
Remember that part?
Oh,
yeah, that was
yeah.
great. That was classic.
He hid this watch up in his ass for 4 solid years. And he's so detailed when he deals. He's just straight face. I don't know how he does it. That was a great flick. What killed me was when they had to change clothes and John Travolta ended up with the University of Santa Clara banana slug shirt. I was like, yes. Who in the hell names their team mascot after banana slug? I didn't even know banana slugs existed until the University of Santa Clara got in on it. So God bless them. They made me that much smarter. But yeah, I got to get a banana slug jersey.
We all need, you know what? That needs to be the official jersey of
nope.
Pop
nope.
Culture Stars.
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. Nope.
Then what would you like to counter? What would you like to counteract that with, Todd?
Oh, I'm damn near going to say anything, but you know what? We might print and go with field expedient silencers.
Take that one to the gun shop. Hey, does this thing fit? I don't know. You've come to the right place. Oh, Christ. My mom would
oh,
be
Mark.
So proud if she listened to this show.
Mark, look what you've done. What have you done?
I know. I'm
like,
a better friend. You got to have me on more often. We can have more fun like this, right? We can get our conversation could go off the deep end in many ways.
It goes it's horrible, but it's great. And thanks to everybody. This has like been about the most fun. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to make a pause in the action, and I would like for Todd to tell us. We'll give him 10 minutes of fun to tell us about hanging out with Liz, and then we're gonna get right back to Robert Pixon in 10 minutes. Todd, is that cool?
Yeah, I'm good with that. So,
all right, buddy.
Here,
let's get going.
I'm sitting here. I'm thinking it was like a Friday night, something like that, maybe Thursday night, and I get this text. Dude, where are you at? You're in Indianapolis, right? I'm like, yeah. What? Want a house guest? And we know, for those that don't know, just real quick background thing. Liz is in the film industry, and she's done the camera thing, and she's getting above, you know, she's leading camera teams now, as a matter of fact, doing effectively in the most generic phrasing, doing the AC and all that. And she's got gigs all over the place, and some of them are fairly short fused. And I was like, do that. You are more than welcome to come up here. And she's like, all right, well, they're supposed to mail me a check and let me know about billeting and this and that, the other thing. And, you know, I'm giving her warnings. I'm like looking at the weather forecast. I'm like, dude, she's coming up from Raleigh, North Carolina. It is the end of October, getting into the beginning of November. Weather there ain't too shabby. I looked at our forecast, and I was like, oh, we better tell her how to pack. So I mentioned those things, and we get her all set up, that kind of stuff, and we did the turns out her flight's coming in early in my work day, and I'm like, and I warned her and said, hey, these are my work hours. It's the way it is. I kind of have a schedule. That's, you know, that's where we're at. So I probably can't give you a ride, but I will use what I coined the Dr. John trick for the key. John, you remember where I asked you to leave it?
Yes, sir.
Don't say it.
And we'll never
right.
mention it. But I put it at the right place, didn't I?
Indeed you did. And so I told her it would be there, you know, and we got her set up. So she gets here on Halloween. I get the hell out of work, come back. I'm outside talking to one of the neighbors. You know, I'm having a cigarette before I come in because I don't want to, you know, smoke in the apartment with her. God bless her. She managed to kick the habit. And I damn sure wasn't going to be brutal in front of her. And she comes storming out the door and just, you know, brushes past the neighbor and just gives me a big old hug. And this is the first time we met. So that was it. How does it get any better than that? But
it does.
So she's gotten here. She's gotten here. She's got the stuff. Greets me a big hug. She's all happy that, you know, I had her palette laid out, if you will, in the sense of bedding on the floor. She's perfectly comfortable, that kind of stuff. We're sitting there, we're doing it. And I'm like, you paid attention outside, right? You see that it's snowing, and we had just real light flakes and stuff like that. So we're grabbing pictures of, you know, while she's out here. So she came from beautiful Raleigh, North Carolina, pushing 70, and it is freaking snowing when she gets up here. So we got that going on. What the heck else? Oh, because so I give her a morning text that morning as she's starting to fly. And she sends me a pic. She says, yeah, I'm already at the airport waiting and stuff like that. So she's, unlike others, I won't mention any names, but their initials are Dr. John Stamey. She's really good about being at place early. Early, not just on time, but early. And so she gives me a picture from the airport. And this is the morning of Halloween. And so I immediately text her back. I'm like, what? You're not flying in costume? I hear the TSA people really love that.
Oh, my God. No. I'm sorry. I'll shut up. Okay. That's great.
I did it. You all know how I am. I'm going to be no different any given time of the day. So that's kind of like how our first date started. So she gets here. And we're talking. I mean, we're just trying to do all the catch-up and stuff. She lets me get through my evening routine where I can get ready, you know, do whatever. And I promised her I was going to take her out for dinner, and we're going to go find a place to eat. And one of my favorite places, and Dr. John knows this, is this place down the street called the Metro Cafe. Classic diner, man. They do all kinds of stuff. And I told her about Dr. John's dinner when we got there, when we went there, because I had...
And I went crazy.
For those that didn't catch it.
Oh, my God, it was so
good. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. No, it was just great.
I told John... Sorry, yeah, I run you over after I said go ahead. I told John what was on the menu while we were walking back from the Horror Hound convention. And, man, this guy's holding on the lamp post, panning... grabbing his chest because it sounded that good. Go ahead, tell him what it was.
Well, what it is they make an they make a waffle, and they make it out of dressing, as in turkey dressing, and then they throw turkey and mashed potatoes and gravy on top of it. And oh my God, you've never. The only thing that I ever had better was actually the barbecue. Was it called Starfire?
Sugarfire.
Sugarfire. Oh, my God. I mean, this is like – and you know what, Dave? We're just going to – we really need to have kind of like a conclave of pop culture stars up there in Indianapolis and go to these two places. Because, I mean, you know, it's just like the best damn food you ever had. And, of course, hanging out with Todd is fun. And, yes, and we hung out and we drank and we had the best time. And I appreciate him having me as a guest. And while I was up at Horror Hound, and I wouldn't have gone there if he hadn't been there. And and you know, Todd, we really did meet a lot of cool people, didn't we?
God, that was a trip. It was an absolute trip. Good grief, the people we were hanging out with. Oh Lord, we can't. The Bigfoot teams alone there were off the charts. Just the Bigfoot guys. You on the air while we were there, spontaneous with RIP Indiana.
Yeah, and then Bob Gimlin is standing over there. We got to hang out with Bob Gimlin. We got to hang out with the She Squatchers.
Oh,
we got to hang out with Squatch Man. And then, of course, John Borowski, who's the best-selling author of serial killer books. I mean, John Borowski's so cool. I talked with him today, and you know, he's trying to see about coming down here for the Johnson City Crime Expo, because actually in Johnson City, Al Capone had a house, an apartment building,
right,
actually. And we're trying to get Borowski to come down here. He said if he could make it happen. It's going to be in May. It's going to be nuts if we can get John down here.
That would be kind of wild. All right.
I'll let everybody know. Todd will have to come down. Sorry, you have to come down.
We'll have to see on that one. I got a different priority off time, a little bit off there from there. And I'll keep you all posted on that one. We're sitting there and we're getting ready, and I had promised Liz to take her to dinner, so we're getting ready. We go get up going, and she's like, with the weather, she's like, I'm going to need different footwear. I'm like, I told you to look at the forecast, you know, and I'm just straight up shaking my head, and I'm like, well, it's not a big deal, and she's like, yeah, we'll hit Walmart or something. I'm like, good to go. So I did the back road. Worked our way around and deliberately overshot a little bit so I could come up with traffic to pull into our place. And it's and as Dr. John knows, it's kind of like double coupon. Walmart's right there by our cafe. And we're driving up. We're northbound on 31. And she goes, Liz goes, is that a real White Castle? I'm like, yeah, because I've never been to one. I'm like, do you want to stop? She's like, can we? I swing in, we pull in right there, and she's like, wow, I've never been to a White Castle. And she's not with us tonight, so I don't know if I can add the other parts of the conversation. But it was an absolute blast. So we go in there. This is Halloween. We pull in the White Castle, and it's not overly cold, but there is like 35 mile an hour wind gusts. It's brisk. We are just below freezing, and it is brisk outside. So we go in there. And for anybody that's ever been to a Crystals or a White Castle, they know that two grown adults don't walk up to the counter and say, let me have one original White Castle burger. I think that's the first time that order has ever been made in history. And
God,
the
how good was it?
Oh, man. The staff was all dressed in Halloween costumes. The place was not busy at all. And they're looking at us like we're insane. I'm like, look, I said, I got my friend here from North Carolina. I go, she's never been to a White Castle. I said, we're driving up. We did a spontaneous stop. We're actually going to go grab food. And we saw the White Castle, and she's never done it before. It's her bucket list. And they just started chit-chatting with us, right? So Liz gets over there and she's eating. She's got a, you know, she goes over, she grabs a ketchup packet, and she goes into this other tangent, as our girl will do. And she's enjoying a White Castle burger. Meantime, the staff is chatting her up, right? They're like, oh, yeah, they go, you know, they're, how is it, blah, blah, blah. You know, Liz's like, man, I could have used some cheese. She goes, yeah, the cheese ones are better. And then one of them are like, man, do you like bacon? And one of the other ones, how do you feel about spicy stuff, blah, blah, blah. So Liz isn't even done with this little-ass original White Castle burger. And one of them are coming over, and they bring her the bacon cheeseburger. The staff is hooking her up. They're like, you know, you're coming in here, you were all the way from North Carolina, and you just felt you had to stop in and just do one. They're like, this is cool, we're having fun. She isn't even done with that, and they're bringing over one of the jalapeno burgers. And it clearly, White Castle's not about the quality of the food. It's about you can get a full belly cheap. But that staff there, because Liz pointed out, she goes, man, she goes, they are just crushing Southern hospitality. They, oh, yeah, the experience was more than you could say. I mean, they charmed her. She charmed them. It was she had so much fun there. It was honestly, the only thing I can compare to that is when I took Kana to the same one nearly a year ago, and that was her being live at her first White Castle, because the only thing she'd had was the freezer section White Castles. And it was just, she so wanted to do it, and she had so much fun doing it. And this, Liz was just as much a little kid as my daughter was when, you know, her first White Castle. So it was an absolute blast. And as we're walking out to the vehicle, we're like, shit, there's a shoe carnival right there. We pulled over right there, got her boots, boom, we moved on. I was like, man, that's another double coupon. So we got up to the Metro Cafe, and man, I already exceeded our 10 minutes.
That's fine.
We're on the first night. We walked in the Metro Cafe. And Dr. John, can you imagine what was on the chalkboard menu for their seasonal item? Sure enough, the doggone dressing waffle with the mashed potatoes, turkey breast, gravy, and the cranberry sauce.
Oh, my God.
And, oh, yeah. Guess what our girl ordered?
I hope she ordered that.
She sure did. She had an absolute blast up there. It was just, and I was like, what are the odds that we're able to pull that little trick off? It's Halloween. We're up there. I mean, anytime that there's going to be a you know, it's like a positive prank. It just, you can't plan this stuff. So, you know, that was a Thursday night, and I'm like, you know, we get back, we stop by, she grabbed, you know, some of her, she likes her darker beer, stuff like that. So she had that, we're sitting there, we had a beer, and we were able to talk and just relax at the end of the evening. I'm like, I'm done for, we're getting up, I got to go to work, man. So get up, do my stuff, I go to work, come back. Liz, being the saint that she is, she tolerated my Friday night laundry routine. We got through my laundry routine. And while we're at the laundromat, she charmed the hell out of the staff. I know that's no surprise to anybody that knows her.
Well, of course.
You know, it's just absolutely no surprise. So we drive uptown, and John knows Roger Park Inn. So we had a block and a half to walk from the parking garage. We get to Sugar Fire barbecue, and it clicked as we're in there getting the order that, you know, ain't that a trip that my people from the Carolinas come. This is where they come to eat barbecue when they're in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty darn cool.
Well,
you know, so
we loved we loved it. I had the best time, and I can't wait. I've just got to come back up there for another event and hang out with you because it was so much fun. It really was.
Yeah,
I've never been.
We have events up here, brother. You know, we have events up here. It is a it's a real city, but she ate that stuff and. Y'all know she was talking about having the meat sweats for 2 days by the time she was done with that stuff. And all those of you that know her, that's not a usual thing. So that was hilarious. We had so many jokes. And I'm going to let her unveil some of the naming things and stuff like that. So that's another thing I just can't go into. So we ran
there.
Yeah. We went up north, and this really, really worked because my offsite train this week is up north from downtown. So I got one of my workmates. I said I would be his transportation because I was going to go into the work in the morning, go, you know, check email, get a little bit of work done because despite me being at training, my work isn't going away. So I get up there, I can get an hour of work done, that kind of thing. And I was like, you know what? This is freaking awesome because where you are staying ain't that far from where my training is this coming week. So this will work out really well. I can go up, do a test run for my drive, get an idea for the timing and all that for my drive up to my training site. So we were able to eat, have a great dinner, have a good time there. And you know, the place that they make you feel good about yourself when you're in there, that kind of thing. So we shot up there. I got my site survey in. I got a feel for, you know, my route, that kind of thing. We got her into her place, settled down. We're like, we'll figure it out, man. So we call the night. On Friday night, we have wrecked the Indianapolis chow scene two nights in a row. Just absolutely wrecked it. So then Saturday begins. So check this out. One of my tangents, we are just after Halloween. The haunted houses are still going on there on Saturday, that kind of thing. So Saturday morning, I'm at my barber shop, and one of my barbers, he's a firefighter by trade. He and I have been talking about doing a prank at the barber shop for a really long time, and he is at the end of his training. He's got one more Saturday to go here in a few days. He's met all his requirements. He's just shooting for the state board. He gets that license. He's done. He's good to go. Well, he and I, given the Halloween season, I went. I picked up, like, tubes of fake blood. I picked up some of the blood capsules, stuff like that. So I'm sitting. This is after doing all this stuff with Liz the last couple of days. I'm in the barber shop. It's Saturday. We started a little bit later for me because he had his nephew come in. He let me know, hey, my nephew's going to be my first haircut of the day. I said, all right, I'll tie my stuff accordingly. I'm in there. The barber shop is packed. We already went through everything, but we're doing a fake second shave just so we could pull the prank. And, those of you know me, I got a scar that runs along the front right side of my ear, down along the, not necessarily the cheekbone, but just right, you know, right along with the ear. And he put on an old shaving lather, and he grooved out the shaving lather and put the blood in there, and I had a capsule in my mouth. I get a little coming out the mouth. The owner of the barber school is on death. So that was our whole point of doing this. The owner of the barber school is in her office. Man, we got to pull this prank now. Murphy's Law was ruthless. We missed her because you can't see the front entrance from the main floor. Had just left to go get chow. And we're in the middle of our prank. You can't undo this stuff. And so we're like, the heck with this. I only got two of the staff members at the place that know what's going on. The young 12-year-old kid next to us, we gave him a heads up that whatever you see, it's a prank. We're going to do the fake blood thing. You okay with that? We don't want to freak you out. And he was like, yeah, man, I can go along with this. Then we pulled this prank. The damn none of the other barbers, like, you know, there were two that were in on it. Everybody else knew nothing. They were freaking the hell out. The customers were freaking out. I was like quivering
awesome.
Under the thing and all that's going on. And the instructor, he's there. He's like, Todd, you okay? Todd, can you say anything? I go, one word. Bazinga! And the place about fell out. They were, man, I mean, there were people just losing their minds. They when they realized it was a prank, they thought it was the greatest thing ever because they thought that stuff was for real. You know, my barber, again, firefighter by trade, paramedic, all that stuff, and you know, the instructor's like, Andy, is he going to need stitches? What are we going to do? Yeah. It was great.
Awesome, Todd.
It was great. Raising hell.
Stop. You get the A plus for Halloween. You sure do.
Oh, yeah. And Liz, by the way, gave me hell for not getting it on film. I bet it's like, you weren't there. What do you want me to do? some of the students were, one of the students that was in on it was recalcitrant from taking the film because he had gotten in trouble for filming something else. So he's like, not me. It's like, you use my phone. It was, but that went over well. So then we ran up there Saturday night to where Liz is staying. They got her billeted. We went up there. We got another dinner out there. Hit this little place, and I grabbed a bites and burger while I was there just to rub y'all's noses in that one. But more quality time. And they managed to get all their shooting done a day early. So Monday night, Liz is running back down here. She's just going to stay in the airport that night. She was, of course, offered a place here. And she was like, you know what? She goes, I'm safe. You know, I'm going to have to do an Uber from whatever. And she goes, you know what? I'd rather just go there. So we went to Giordano's Pizza, and we're just hanging out downtown at Giordano's Pizza. And, I mean, just being able to hang out and talk smack and have fun and be able to keep current with the events, man, it was just a lot of fun because, you know, sometimes you're talking just cracking jokes and stuff, and sometimes you're sharing real stuff, and it's what we do as a team. You know, it's what our team's done
exactly.
Here for a while, and it was really cool to be able to hang out.
Yeah,
it was really cool.
And you know, Todd, it's great. I know you guys had a good time, and I want to have Liz on to share her take on it because I think she had a good time. Sure,
and tell me the stuff that you know I just that you know I won't share without complete permission from her.
Yep. Well, I tell you what, it's now time to get back to murder and death, and get back to Robert Picton, Willie Picton. Okay.
I bet you were dying to get back to this.
No, I just we got to do it because this will finish our show up. But you know, murders, deaths, over the course of 3 years. Oh my God, Hiscox, the dude that worked for him noticed that the women disappeared, and all this stuff, and it wasn't really that hard. So let's go back to, over the course of 3 years, Hiscox noted that women who visited the farm eventually went missing. In 2002, the police executed a search warrant for illegal firearms. Well, that's about the easiest thing you can do to get. And both the brothers were arrested. And the police got a second warrant using, you know, what they'd seen from the property on the farm that really engaged the British Columbia Missing Women's Investigation Database. And so personal items actually were found. And all of a sudden, the police task force realized that something bad, very bad, had been happening. It was early in 2002 that Robert or Willie Pinkton was arrested, and he was charged with two counts of first-degree murder. Now, Mark, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm Mark, still here. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah. Yep. And so all of a sudden, he was arrested. Robert Pinkton was arrested for two counts of first-degree murder. And then it went up to six counts of second-degree murder. Had a good attorney. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a good attorney. You better have one if something's going to happen. But then when he had the informant come sit in his jail cell for a couple of weeks with a wire, and Pinkton said that he'd killed 47 women. How horrible. What do you think, Mark?
Well, from what you're explaining about the whole judicial system, and I think he got pretty laid off considering the amount of evidence that was against him, and that's totally normal for a Canadian judicial system. I feel that, like, they go light on people. It's ridiculous. Like, for example, I know another example of a serial killer that's very infamous from where I grew up, called Paul Bernardo. We can do a whole segment on this guy too, and it's just as crazy, if not more, than Pinkton. But anyway, his accomplice, Carla Homolka, she got off within like a few years, and people were scratching their heads, being like, "How can you be a serial killer and get off like within a few years?" But that's totally common in Canada. I don't know why. You know, I watch all these murder shows in the States, and these guys get sentenced to 50 years or life and death sentences. You know what I mean? In Canada, it's a whole other story as far as things go. It's pretty crazy, actually.
Wow. Had no idea. And I mean, that's very telling. I mean, you know, we didn't know that. And so thanks for letting us know it. So basically, if you're going to be a serial killer, you better do it in Canada, because you'll get off much lighter. And not that you ever want to do it, because you don't. Right, Dave?
Oh, of course not.
Is that all you can say? For God's sake, come on, Dave.
I guarantee you, Dave, if I was Mormon and I had a bunch of wives, maybe.
Go out and get another one pretty quick, you know. Now, what blows my mind is, you know, you got 26. You said he killed 26 women, and I think it was last week we were talking about our boy Pee-wee. What a great name for a killer, too, Pee-wee. Christ. I mean, just when you think it should be like 8-Ball or Black Widow or something like that, dude's name is Pee-wee, and he's like just wiping it out. Nevertheless, mathematically speaking, okay, we pay our light bill, if we're lucky, once a month, okay? If he killed 26 women that we know of, that is two solid years.
Actually, Dave, he admitted to 49.
Okay, well, even better then. There's 52 weeks in a year. All right? So for the sake of easy math, we'll say he killed 52 women. So that would be every Wednesday night we do this show. Okay? I don't know about you guys.
Yes.
Sometimes there are Wednesdays that sneak up, and I'm going, damn, is it Wednesday already? You know, we just did the show last night. And a week has gone by, and you hadn't even felt it. This is a guy who killed a person, arguably, every week. And, I mean, I know he did it over a longer span of time and everything, but even stretched out, for God's sake, if you're there are people in our armed forces who shoot the enemy from hundreds of yards and never get over it. They're doing their jobs, God bless them, and they feel bad about it for their entire lives, and they're never able to shake it off. But yet there's this clown out there who's able to do this, you know.
At a cyclic rate.
Yeah, and habitually. And not to mention the fact that it's very much more personal. You know, stabbing somebody, you know, when you stab somebody, there's contact. It isn't like shooting somebody where you can get them from a distance, you know, the old Lone Ranger, get them on the cliff and watch them fall thing. No, when you stab somebody, you're at arm's length, as they say. And, yeah, I mean, and to be honest with you, if you talk about being sloppy and that kind of stuff, stabbing somebody is probably one of the messiest ways to do it. You know what I mean? Because you got just blood going every freaking where.
Well, you raise an interesting point there. It's like, what would motivate somebody to do that? What's their will to do that? There has to be something inside that gets some weird pleasure, or you know what I mean? That's what it has to come down to.
You know, you mentioned that, and they don't hide that with the profiling thing, that much of that is considered sexual for the stabbing.
Mm-hmm.
It just is, but it's, yeah, because that's up close and personal.
For sure.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
But yeah,
I don't know if you guys watch that show, 48 Hours, or it's like the detective show, where if they don't or if they don't have a lead within 48 hours, you know, it's not likely to be solved. But I was just watching one last night, and it was kind of remind me of this whole Robert Picton situation. The guy would handcuff him, and, you know, he was a serial killer and everything. And it just makes you wonder, like, he had a history of this type of, like, violence towards women. It's a kind of a recurring behavior, you know what I mean? It makes you think, what would drive somebody to do this type of thing? It has to be something messed up in their probably their own childhood, you know what I mean? That then they bring it on to the world in the end with a lot of these serial killer situations. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
You know, people can go back to that, but there's a ton with that childhood that have done superb, and there's far too many that have done crappy. So, you know, I can't put it on just that, because if we're going to do just a study on the negative, it would probably be flawed if we didn't study on the positive. That would be a pretty jacked up baseline. That would be post hoc or real propter hoc freaking reasoning.
Yeah, that's.
Sorry,
I think you're right. I think you're right, Todd. And, you know, it's just kind of crazy, this murder business, because we're now, at least for tonight, we're in the murder business. And we're talking about this incredible serial killer who killed almost 50 women, who just did heinous things. And, you know, we don't like it, but people do want to know. And I'm glad that people want to know, because we're in the job of teaching people what they know. So all I got to say is, number one, thank you to Mark Manny for being here. And for introducing to Robert Pickton.
No, I'm just saying it was great having you here, Mark, because I know I sat there and, you know, was given 10 minutes, ran 20, that kind of thing. The sorry if I bored the snot out of you, that kind of thing. But, man, look, we appreciate having you here. We really, really do. You're welcome to come back.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it, too. It's been fun talking with you guys, and, you know, I can't
Absolutely.
Wait for our next discussions, where that'll go, you know what I mean? It's really cool to experience this, to be back on your podcast, John. You know, every time, it's been awesome, and I learn a lot every time, so thanks, guys, again.
We're just so glad to have you.
Bring your dildo, we'll go shooting.
Watch out. Oh, my
Guess
God,
what? I'm
going to
be for Halloween next year.
You'll get a bang out of it.
Yes, sir. Oh, man.
Notice the double-edged sword on bang.
Mark, now do you know why I do this podcast? These guys are crazy.
Exactly.
They're crazy. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, we have to do it. Absolutely. And then they get on, we're crazy, and I laugh, and I have the most fun on Pop Culture Stars, and we really appreciate it. We have two members of late who are no longer with us, and we wish they were, but that's okay. But we love Pop Culture Stars. It's something we will do forever, because it's a lot of fun. And I want to thank everybody, because we only have like 11 minutes left. So I want to do a quick check on plugs for next week or whatever. So Todd, what you got to plug?
I'm going to plug the Marine Corps birthday, 244 years, and Veterans Day. Look, I got to do 20 years of active duty with the United States Marine Corps. Some of the best 20 years of my life. I damn sure would not have had the chance to meet Yuki had I not
Your
been
wife.
Stationed where I was, when I was. Yes, my wife. It's been, you know, she's, you know, we went to our first Marine Corps birthday ball in 1990. And somehow or other, she's found it within herself to stick with me through all that. It's just unreal. And here for the last 18 months or so, I've been able to actually work with the Marine Corps again. It is just an unbelievable thing. We sitting there in the class today with the people that I was with, talking some of the common ground we chewed, the people we knew, it just, the world got much smaller. It was just very, very cool. It's been, it's a heck of an experience. And look, the people out there doing it, the people that have done it, the people that are going to do it, clearly I'm partial to the Marine Corps, and I'm not even going to try to hide my bias. But for all the veterans in general, thanks, mates. Salute.
And thank you to everybody on Veterans Day, which is coming up on the 14th. Dave Atwell, what do you have to plug?
I just would like to echo what Todd said there about the Veterans Day and Marine Corps birthday. I'll be spending an afternoon, as I usually do, with Sergeant Major. And, you know, my dad's retired 30 years Sergeant Major in the Marine Corps and has seen quite a bit. And over the years, Veterans Day has kind of developed into kind of like a Thanksgiving for us, where we, you know, just come together and sit around and shoot the breeze and everything, and, you know, enjoy a meal and have a couple malt beverages and everything. But, yeah, you know, we've talked about my dad before on the show and everything, and couldn't be prouder of a son, couldn't be more thankful for, you know, for everything that he did, and not to mention the fact my mom trying to raise two sons while he was out doing that stuff. So, you know, hats off to the veterans, hats off to the sacrifice, and without going on a political rant here, I wish there'd be a lot more people who would shut their mouths and look at things, the big picture, and look at it in black and white and understand the contributions that they've made. And understand that sometimes it's a necessary evil that we have to do what we have to do as a nation, and thicken the skin up a little bit. But nevertheless, happy Veterans Day. Happy birthday, Marine Corps. God bless you guys. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm going to slide back in here because of birthdays. Man, Phil Luckin asked because I didn't catch this. But the Liz... Your birthday is on the 8th, so happy birthday, girl. The we're not going to forget that. The and Dr. John, happy birthday,
yes,
brother.
Absolutely,
happy birthday,
thank
John.
Mine is tomorrow, which is November 7th. Regardless of what Facebook says, my birthday is tomorrow, so I look forward to.
Just a hint, you do know that you can. You are capable of changing your Facebook profile.
I just didn't realize that it showed November 6th. So I found that out today. So we'll do that. And tomorrow I'll be with my friends, Robin and Pat McCray. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, with Zach Somov and his, my double knot secret Russian spy buddy. And we're going to be having my birthday there, and I'm just so excited. I really am. So I guess what I'll do is I will say, with 7 minutes and 14 seconds left, I want to thank everybody. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. And please forgive me. Mark, do you have a plug?
There you go.
Well, everybody is free to join my Facebook. Add me as a friend on Mark Manti, M-A-N-T-I. And once you do, just give me a shout-out and see the things I like. I post a lot of interesting things, as you see, John. And me and you have talked a lot about Bigfoot experiences that I've had. So if you're into Bigfoot, you know, reach a hand out to me. I'm always interested in things like that. I post a lot of things about UFO. I'm into UFO types of topics. So we should talk about maybe for next time, you know what I mean? Next time, that could be our focus of discussion if you're into that type
Mark,
of thing.
Mark, is it T-I-T-E-Y what?
Mark, M-A-R-K, M-A-N-T-I. And
okay.
You'll see that if you're friends and comment with John, you'll see me on there. So add me up.
That's right. And we love Mark. Mark is one of my favorite people on the internet, and can't thank him enough.
Friend request, brother.
Good,
okay.
Good.
And you know.
All right. Well, I wanted to thank everybody tonight for being on Pop Culture Stars. It was a lot of fun, as it always is. Todd was crazy. Dave was insane, and I was just trying to listen, and we had a great guest, Mark Manny. So I know it's terrible. So anyway, thank you everybody. Brady Hicks, please keep us on VOC Nation. We love you, and I want to thank everybody for being part of a Pop culture star tonight. So thanks, everybody, okay? Love you guys.
Thank you.
Cheers.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
Good night, everybody.